Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Podcast Report. My name is Cliff Ravenscraft from PodcastAnswerMan.com and your host for this show. The Podcast Report is devoted to helping you get the most value out of the podcasting track of Blog World and New Media Expo. That's right, my friends. And as I am recording this, I'm actually recording this on Thursday, May 24th, 2012. There's only 12 days left until the NYC event. And I am so pumped up, so excited about this event. And of course, I tell you that every week. And so I'm sure you know about it all about right about now. But anyway, here's the situation. I wanted to give you a couple of announcements. And today's episode is going to be a little bit unique, a little bit different. In that I'm going to be featuring an interview with Noah Shanuk, who is the CEO and founder of Stitcher Radio. Now, the reason why I want to highlight the Stitcher Radio folks this week is because Stitcher Radio has generously agreed to sponsor the podcast pavilion of Blog World and New Media Expo. So basically, the things that we're able to pull off at the podcast pavilion is basically due to the very generous support of Stitcher Radio. And just wanted to give them a plug here this week and talk about Stitcher Radio and the things that are going on there. And before I tell you a little bit about that, first, I want to say that the interview that I'm going to be playing is right around, I think, 35 minutes or so. Let me take a look. 35 minutes in length, and the full interview that I did with them, and I hate to do this, but I did it. The full interview I did with Noah is actually 10 minutes longer and had two more very important questions about something that unfortunately right now is under embargo. It's something they will not be releasing any information about until next week on Tuesday, and the full interview, the full 45 minutes of my interview will be in episode number 263 of Podcast Answer Man. So it's basically going to be the entire same interview except for 10 minutes longer in my Podcast Answer Man show over at podcastanswerman.com/263 sometime next Thursday. So if you want to hear the full interview and the new information they're going to release, I hate to tease that. It really bugs me to say, if you want, here's just a portion of an interview. I don't like to do that. But hey, you know, I wanted to get the interview in here for you guys this week. And I also wanted to announce that at Blog World, we have a very exciting thing happening. Callie Lewis from GeekBeat.tv is coming to Blog World NYC. And she will be broadcasting live on June 6th and 7th from the event. In fact, she'll be taking the Stitcher Radio Podcast Pavilion and broadcasting her show live from there and into her audience. And so if you want to, you can check that out on June 6th and 7th. That's Wednesday and Thursday of the conference. And you can check it out at geekbeat.tv/live. Again, that's geekbeat.tv/live. And if you want, I'll be there talking with her live on her live stream on Thursday, June 7th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Hey, before we turn things over into this interview that I have with Noah, I want to play some audio feedback that came in from Anna Sophie, and here's what Anna Sophie had to say.
Hi, Cliff. This is Anna Sophie from TrueBeautyPodcast.com, and I just wanted to call in and say thank you so much for putting together the Blog World podcasting track. I am beyond excited to be part of it. When I heard that Jay and Jack, great friends of mine, are going to be there, I was jumping up and down, and I'm honored to be on a panel with Father Roderick. I cannot wait to meet Eric Fisher again and Daniel J. Lewis and all of these wonderful podcasters. Most of them I know have known for years and from the lost days, and I'm so very excited. It's like a big reunion of podcasters. So it's only a bit more than 2 weeks away, and I'm counting the minutes. I cannot wait for everything to start. It's gonna be absolutely epic. pick. Thank you so much, Cliff. Bye.
All right. Well, Anna Sophia, I am so delighted that you are coming all the way from Europe, which is amazing. And it's going to be the most eclectic mix of podcasters ever brought together, assembled in one place. And we're going to have a wonderful time. Can't wait to see you there and everyone else that's listening, in fact, as well. Hey, if you want to leave some feedback, questions, or anything that you have for the podcast report, you can give me a call at 859-795-4067. And again, that phone number, 859-795-4067. If you want to, you can email that to feedback@gspn.tv, which is just if you record an audio file and you want to attach it with some higher quality audio, then you can do it just like Honest Feed did. Again, that's feedback@gspn.tv. That's my network, generally speaking, production network. Anyway, I look forward to hearing from you guys and also look forward to seeing you in NYC. And without any further ado, it's time for that interview right now. All right, my friends, I am so excited to be on the line with Noah Shanak, who is the CEO of Stitcher Radio, a service that seems to be taking the podcasting world by storm. And even in my own opinion, I think it's kind of one of the indicators. Their company is one of the indicators about the future of podcasting. So, Noah, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Cliff, thanks so much for having me.
Well, hey, the first thing I want to ask you is when, how, and why did Stitcher Radio get started?
Great question. So Stitcher, so we launched on the iPhone in 2008, and the original idea came from a couple of places. One, I was an early adopter of Pandora, and I understood with a two-way internet connection that you can just get a lot more value as a listener because you can personalize the radio versus a one-way broadcast connection. And I was also an early adopter of podcasts, and I love seeing how much and hearing the breadth of content that was available. But it was painful because you had to download and you had to sync, and discovery wasn't as automatic as it needed to be. And so I figured, and people listen to, people consume content other than music when they're on the go doing other things. So my thought was, if there was really going to be a mobile internet connection, then people would want to consume what they want when they want to. And if we could do it in a way that's automated and helps them to discover new stuff, and that would be a huge advance forward for radio, both from the producer side and from the listener side. So that's how it came about, and it's coming along great.
So Noah, was this originally your idea then, back in 2008, to launch this thing?
The original idea was mine, but I launched it with a technical co-founder, Peter DeBrody, and since then, as the vision has never changed, but things morph along the way, and now we have a fantastic team, and so it's a collaboration of a lot of different ideas that come from all of us in the product.
You know, my good friend Andy Traub, he's from the Take Permission Podcast Network, and he wanted me to ask how Stitcher separates itself from apps like Downcasts, Podcasts, and the various other podcasting apps that allow users to create their own channels from their podcast feeds, oftentimes based upon, you know, the directory listings that are publicly made available.
Sure. So I guess the first differentiator is the Price is Right. So Stitcher's free. Stitcher can also, makes it easier for listeners to create their own channels from podcasts that they like. And then beyond that, content discovery is a huge priority for us. We hear from partners that after iTunes, Stitcher's the top platform for discovery of shows. And we have algorithms that recommend shows based on your listening. And we're actually about to launch more discovery tools. We're seeing with the discovery tools we have already that, for instance, 50% of new listeners use our listeners also like feature to discover, and they discover an average of 5 new shows per week that they listen to. Stitcher also has app integrations with a growing number of car manufacturers, and that makes it easier and safer to listen while driving. And then Stitcher streaming is more reliable and doesn't hog bandwidth because of our compression technology. Stitcher's also we do curate content, so we have a best of. We have an editorial staff that takes a look at what content folks are liking, and we try to unearth new stuff that way. And then recently we launched an election center, which has got some really cool transcription technology and unearths what topics are trending in politics today, and allows listeners who are interested in the elections to keep up with to keep up with candidates and the topics that are of interest today.
There are a couple things that I want to bring up here, and I hope you don't mind me asking a very difficult question or a hard question for you. But here's the one thing. You guys had been around since 2008. I think I'm pretty sure I just got added to Stitcher Radio for Podcast Answer Man and many of my other GSPN.TV shows here this year, 2012. So it's been many years. And one of the things I can tell you is that for probably 18, 19, 20 months, I got repeated requests, you know, usually one every 2 to 3 months, but repeated requests over almost 2 years for people who said, hey, I really wish you would get on that Stitcher Radio. I can't seem, you know, I love Stitcher Radio. It's my favorite app, but I can't get your show. Your show is the only one that I still want on there. Can you please go and add it? And of course, there were other services out there called Slacker Radio and some other things. And I got you guys confused with some of those other services where content producers, to actually sign up, they actually had to pay to be a part of the service. So I guess my difficult question for you is this idea of curated content versus allowing somebody who has the application to just throw in their own RSS feed and say, hey, this is content I really love, and the content producers won't get off their hind ends and go and find out more and submit themselves. What are you doing to kind of deal with that?
Yeah. So, a couple of different things. One, we do get a lot of inbound requests, and so we're very proactive about those. Two, we are doing our best and increasing our capacity to reach out to potential content partners that we want to be on our service to be on our service. We do, and there's so much great content out there, but we want to formalize relationships with content partners. We want all of the content that's on Stitcher to be content that listeners are going to want to hear. So we do we screen somewhat, like, you know, we obviously wouldn't put up any content that's pornographic or you know, hate content or anything like that. So we're careful about that. And we are up to 7,000 shows now available. So we've increased our capacity a lot. The primary purposes of not just allowing users to add RSS feeds directly is, one, we want to formalize relationships with content partners where it's our approach to work hand in hand with you. And two, we want to make sure that the selection of content that's available is is the absolute best. But it is you were added 4 years too late. So at least you're on there now.
Yeah, and I totally see both sides of this. As a content producer, I'd want my content added to your network with the fact that it's being, you know, knowing that it's actually going through a whole new process of compression. And right. And obviously there's the potential in the future that you may include advertisement that you might generate income from, that I, yes, you know, that if without any kind of formalized agreement, there would be no ability for me to kind of get in on that or be aware that it's happening. So I can see it from my perspective as a content creator, but as a user of Stitcher Radio and somebody who unfortunately may not have ever heard about podcasting before, all of a sudden they've been told about Stitcher Radio or it came included on their car system or whatever the case may be. Now they've been introduced to this world of podcasting and they just got that one guy, that podcast answer man guy. I've been emailing him. I email Stitcher every single day and the guy will not get himself on there. You know, how do I get his content? I guess I'm going to have to go find another way to get all of those great producers' contents that just won't take the time to go and add themselves to that content delivery system.
Yeah, no, it's true, and it's something that we've battled internally. But our part of our mission is really strong relationships with content partners and then also having the highest quality content available on Stitcher. And that's probably that's probably why out of the other apps that are available were likely the most popular. We have 5 million registered users. We're growing very quickly, so hopefully the benefits of our decision outweigh the early hurdles. And we're increasing, and as I mentioned, we're certainly increasing AHA onboarding capabilities faster and faster.
Well, you mentioned curated content and that you have an editorial staff. Do you guys have some kind of guideline? Now, you obviously just shared with me that adult oriented content. Is profanity something that you're looking for? Explicit language of, is there a line or that you draw on the sand that says we won't go this far?
It would have to be pretty far. I mean, obviously, a lot, and especially in the comedy sector, there's a fair amount of profanity. We're talking about we're talking about extremes, and we also iTunes can help be a guide for us that way. We'll check to see if it's available on iTunes, and we'll just make our it's rare that we choose not to include the content. But we also want to be really, we do want to be careful about it.
You mentioned something about transcription technology, and I just want to say, by the way, Rachel that works with you guys, she is absolutely amazing. She is on top of everything. And I really, I don't know that I'd be on Stitcher today if it wasn't for her persistence and her patience. So, keep her around. But anyway, I think she's mentioned something about the transcription technology. I've not had a chance to look into this any further to see what she was talking about. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in this transcription that you guys are that you've acquired and what you're planning to do with it?
Yeah, so it's super cool. So the way that it works now is basically all of our news and politics content we transcribe the audio and analyze the words in the audio and see topics that that are trending and what candidates are saying. So it might be jobs, it might be the economy, it might be something that's more time sensitive, and then it shows listeners what's trending, and then allows listeners to choose the content, and then it'll show all the mentions within a particular episode, and then listeners can either listen to the full episode or listen basically just from those offsets. And you can imagine the possibilities more broadly for this, in terms of getting listeners to the topics of interest that they want to hear, and giving content producers more opportunity to find those listeners based on what it is that they're talking about.
So the transcription technology is only currently being applied to the news and politics category. Are you looking to expand that in the future?
We are, and we figured that the 2012 election was a great jumping off place for us. Great for us to learn about the technology and refine it. Great way to get feedback from listeners on what's working and what's not. But the technology that we have available to us, plus the two-way internet connection, it just has not been harnessed in full yet to deliver the audio experience that that we believe we can deliver. So we are planning on rolling it out more widely, and we're using this as a stepping stone.
Great. The next question I have for you is about car manufacturers. One of the things that really got me excited about Stitcher Radio when I first started to look into it and see if I was going to spend some time to, you know, go through and read these content provider agreements and all this stuff. What got me excited is to read that you guys were actually, you'd already signed deals to get into manufacturers' car radio systems, the actual factory radio systems in Ford. And I think I just read a report at something about BMW. Are there any other manufacturers that you're getting into?
Yeah, that's so. The ones that you mentioned are correct. Ford was they were the first to announce, and they announced with us and then Pandora on the music side, and it was at the Consumer Electronics Show, and Ford CEO who was a keynote, him and his team basically announced it then. So that was very exciting for us because in-car connectivity, the car obviously is a huge place where people consume this content, and we want it to be as easily accessible as possible. So since then, we've also added GM as a partner, including all of their brands, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, and Lincoln. And then, as you mentioned, BMW, we haven't launched with them yet. We've made the announcement and we are going to be launching on all BMW and Mini models in this fall.
So how does this work? Let's just say I buy one of these brand new cars that has this radio that supposedly I heard is going to have Pandora and Stitcher Radio. Is this an app that I have to go and install into my radio, or am I going to roll this off the car lot and Stitcher Radio's there?
Yeah, so it works. It works in a variety of ways with some of the higher end units, none that have been announced yet, but we'll be announcing shortly with a couple of other manufacturers. Sometimes the internet connection goes directly into the car, and then Stitcher's basically just on deck on the head unit. In most cases, though, the connection and most of the heavy lifting is done on the mobile device. So, but it stays in your pocket and connects through Bluetooth or connects through a 30-pin connector. And then basically there's a full dashboard takeover of Stitcher. So you could literally, and in Ford's case, that they're using some text to, or they're using some voice technology. So you could literally get into your car, your car pairs and never comes out of your pocket. You pull up Stitcher and then say, play podcast Answer Man. And then it just starts playing out of your speakers, and you've got full audio controls on your dashboard.
Nice. So I guess these cars are starting to come with either 3G or 4G internet connectivity and stuff like that these days as well.
Some are, and there's definitely there's trade-offs to both to doing it through the mobile device and or directly into the car. But it's going to become more pervasive. But in the meantime, there's already, you know, 80 million, 90 million drivers in the United States that have internet connections in their car. It just happens to be through their smartphone. What we're working on is just making that experience as easy and safe as possible, to listen to all of your favorite, content.
Now, I've browsed the radio, the website for Stitcher Radio quite a bit, you know, in my research that I was doing for you guys. And it seems like everything is obviously app driven, which makes sense. That's where you got started. That was the original idea, the purpose and everything. Is there any plans in the future to make the website, the web version, that people could get on their desktop or their iPad? Well, I guess if they had the iPad or another device, they'd have the app. But still, the website, to where the content, the directory, if you will, that you guys have could be browsed and consumed right from their, let's say, Chrome browser, Internet Explorer, or Firefox browser, or what have you.
We definitely need to. 95% of listening is on mobile devices presently for Stitcher. We definitely need to make over, and we have plans for it. What we found, though, in general, is that at least from what we've seen from our experiences, and then exploring usage patterns for folks, is that people listen to music at the desk a fair amount, but most folks listen to non-music content when they're on the go doing other things, at their computer they will either read or watch a video, but it's difficult to be working and then also listening to talk as well, which is why we haven't prioritized the makeover of the website. But we certainly will be in the future, because there are listeners that want to hear it from their computer, and we want Stitcher to be wherever a listener wants to hear.
That's awesome. And I see just in my own mind some uses for revamping some of that stuff and having that available, you know, such as, you know, it'd be cool from the app if you could share, you know, hey, I'm listening to this. Wow, this is an amazing conversation in this episode. Click here to share on Twitter, Facebook, whatever the case may be. And then all of a sudden that goes out. But, it, you know, for those who have a mobile device, they can click a link and maybe it opens up Stitcher Radio on their mobile device. Or if I happen to be seeing that on my desktop, I click a link and it takes me to a web version of Stitcher where I could immediately either be taken to that particular episode, or even better, right to the moment from, you know, the timestamp of when they actually said, hey, start here.
That's absolutely right. And we have some of that in place already. And we as you may know, we did a very tight mobile integration with Facebook, which basically for folks that want to publish to their timeline, it will publish listening to their timeline automatically. But a lot of listening to what people publish, which obviously from a virality perspective is fantastic for producers of content. But then we see that a fair number of people do click on that content on their desktop, and we want to improve that experience.
One of the things that was the most popular question that the Podcast Answer Man community wanted me to ask you is how your affiliate program works.
Yes. So the affiliate program is theoretically simple in concept, but has frankly been tougher in execution. The basics of it is that Stitcher pays $1 for each new user sent our way. We give you a promo code and assets to get you set up. We know there's been a pretty long path between from hearing a message about Stitcher and the promo code and getting to the app stores or websites to download the app. And we can only display the results of the promo code, but we apply other calculations to determine new listeners that should be attributed to the show. So we look at new user listens to that show, searches, hits to the landing page to determine the payout. We begin paying a content producer when they hit 100 new Stitcher users. And partners who've been successful in the program have been able to convert somewhere between 7 to 10% of their listening audience to the program. We are looking to alter the system in the future. We want to align incentives better. We basically wanted to put a foot forward to provide another incentive for content producers to talk about Stitcher as a preferred listening platform and to share in the benefit. But there are a lot of questions that come up about it and it's early days, and we aim to fix what's confusing.
All right. Very cool. So I know that there's a lot of things that you guys are looking to improve in that area to kind of take away some of the confusion that exists there. You know, obviously you have the affiliate program as it is today, which is just a flat referral and of new users, $1 per user. Do you guys have plans for advertising and shared revenue in the future?
We do. And right now we are, we don't have a direct sales force but are going to begin to focus, more on monetization. Thus far we've been focused a lot on, just making Stitcher the best product it can be, building content partner relationships and getting on, all of the platforms, that we need to be on. But we obviously, we need to have a revenue stream, and we do plan to share that revenue with content producers. And what we wanted to do in the meantime, even though we're not monetizing, is provide some incentives. Show some goodwill. As we're building these relationships, but we absolutely plan to share either do a revenue sharing or some type of some other form where incentives are aligned and content producers can reap all of the rewards beyond just extending reach and metrics.
One of the questions that I have for you is this special compression technology. I know that most of the shows are talk and therefore the compression's not all that bad, but you get somebody who's got a 128 kilobit file and they have, let's just say, a lot of music in it, like the intro of my show. And then all of a sudden that show gets pulled off of the content delivery network of mine off of one download. And then you go in and recompress this and push it out to somebody else. It further throws out digital information bits about the music that was actually included in the front and the end of my show or clips in between. I know that you had to do that because of the agreements and the regulations with, cell carriers or Apple themselves or stuff like that. Is there anything that can be done about this in the future, do you see?
So a couple of things. First, the benefits, because we don't from an Apple perspective, it wasn't something that was necessary for us to do. What we were looking for, one, from a user perspective, and it was what one is was took a huge amount of work from a technology perspective to build the infrastructure to do this. And two is more costly because then we basically end up hosting a set of content, and we would prefer not to do it. So it was a very big investment for us to be able to do it. The reason that we do it is twofold. One, even as cell networks get better, and we've come a long way from the AT&T, the early days of the Edge network on the iPhone. We still want streaming to be lightning fast and very reliable. And then two, there are more and more bandwidth caps that we're seeing, and people listen to Stitcher a lot. And so we want the footprint to be as low as possible, and it is quite low. And so we did a lot of testing. We're audiophiles ourselves. When we were listening to some of the early stuff we got, we didn't love it a lot. We tested it a ton with listeners to make sure that the quality was high enough that there weren't complaints about it. And by and large, if you look at our reviews, we're 4.5 to 5-star app. Rarely does that come up as an issue, but we want the experience to be as good as possible. And so we can certainly be flexible with it in the future, depending upon what goes on in the industry. But that's the reason why we do it. And that's a big benefit we found for users and therefore for content producers as well.
Well, I certainly understand where you guys are coming from, and the one thing that as an audiophile myself is this idea. I love the idea of your list. I love the idea of your rankings and ratings and getting more listeners and finding all these new people who got these cars and they've got these apps that have no idea what this stuff is. And boom, they click on technology and boom, there's Podcast Answer Man. I want to be at the top. But at the same time, I don't know that I want to drive 98% of my audience to a lower quality file. And so that wars within me. But I certainly value what Stitcher brings to the table. And you make a compelling case for sending your audience there. I will give you that.
Much appreciated. And from one audiophile to another, it was, and a lot of us internally, it was a difficult decision, and there was a huge amount of testing because at the core, what we wanted to do is provide the best experience for listeners. And so, and there's trade-offs with everything.
Two last questions and I'll let you go. The second to last question is, do you have custom radio programs that are put on by Stitcher? Yesterday, I was invited to be on a show and had a great time. And I just wondered, is that an official Stitcher show? And do you have other shows that are official Stitcher branded?
That's our official Stitcher show, Meet the Talkers. We are not producers of content ourselves. There are many very talented folks out there who produce content, and we're focused on being a platform. But we do want to get to know and have let listeners our listeners get to know those great producers of content. So we created a show called Meet the Talkers, which you're starring in the current episode to be able to talk to you about the industry and about your show and to get to know you better. That for us is really important, and it's just a fun project that we're doing internally. That's the Stitcher show.
Excellent. And then the final question is, what are you working on for the future of Stitcher Radio?
So we are we're laser focused just on being the best place to consume audio content. We want to make it as easy as possible for listeners to find the shows that they already love and discover new ones. And we want that experience to be with them wherever they are and whenever they want to listen to Stitcher. So on the platform side, we're going to continue to roll out with more vehicle integrations. We'll continue to roll out great features on the iPhone and Android and other mobile platforms. You'll begin to see us. We're on Sonos, so you'll begin to see us more in the home as well. And then on the content partnership side, we're going to be providing more information for in the content partner portal and elsewhere for content producers that can be helpful to them both in working to extend their reach and to understanding their audience and to furthering the relationships.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited to see the roadmap ahead. Again, it took a lot for me to finally take notice and to investigate further, but I'm glad that I did. I do think that you guys are on the cutting edge. I know that you're going to be at Blog World and New Media Expo talking about on the podcasting track about the future of podcast distribution. I am so delighted to have you on that panel session. Can't wait to attend that. Folks, if you are listening to this, I encourage you right now, go to Stitcher.com, Stitcher.com, and scroll to the bottom, look in the footer on the right-hand side, it says content providers, and click the sign up button. Get your show into Stitcher. It's another way to get noticed and get some new listeners, and not a bad way to actually earn a couple extra bucks just by telling your audience about their application. Noah, thank you so much for everything. Man, what a valuable time to get to know about you and about Stitcher and its future. So thank you so much.
Cliff, thanks so much. It's an honor to be on your show, and I'm glad your show, Stitcher, me, and a lot of other listeners.
Well, my friends, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Podcast Report. And I just tell you, there are some exciting things on the road ahead. I can't wait to see you guys in NYC. If you haven't signed up yet, there's still time. You can go over to blogworldexpo.com. Use promo code GSPN10 when you sign up, and you will get 10% off. And by the way, if you are not able to attend the event, don't forget you can get the virtual ticket option, which will give you access to every single session, not just the podcasting track, but every session of everything that's going on at Blog World. Go check it out, blogworldexpo.com. Until next week, my friends, take it easy, take your show and everything you do to the next level.